In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, the Word of God says, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers." Let us pray before we get on with the message today. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty and Precious God, we give Thee thanks, we give Thee praise. And Lord God, I ask that You would give me utterance as I bring forth this message today. And I pray, Lord, that the ears of the needy, Lord, would be unstopped. Hearts would be open and receptive to what is said here today, Lord. And when all is said and done, may You, Lord God, receive the glory. And may Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, be lifted up. Amen. Amen. Okay, now you know something? When I got out of bed this morning, I looked in the mirror. Ooh, I wonder how many of you looked in the mirror this morning. Well, it's just something that we do. Check ourselves out. Are we still here? Is that the same person I see in the mirror that it was last night when I left and went to bed? I looked in the mirror this morning, and guess what I saw? Oh, no, hold on now. Don't go getting rowdy. I know what you're thinking. Nope. It was not. It was not an image of Clark Gable. Nope. And it wasn't a look-alike for Elvis Presley either. Nor was it Julio. Is that Julio or Julio? Or neither was it Bill Gates. Nope. The image staring back at me in that bathroom mirror this morning was nobody famous or important at all. At least not to anyone I know. Nope. Not to God, for sure. But as I continued to stare and focus in, you know how sometimes your eyes are a little blurry in the morning? You got to sometimes pry them open a bit. As I began to focus in, it slowly became clear to me how unique I was. No. I'm not getting full of pride here. Hang in there. Nobody else anywhere in this world, over 7 billion people, looked exactly like me. I don't know if you'd count that a blessing or what. And nobody over 7 billion had my fingerprints. Wow. Or my DNA. Whew. I am different. Well, maybe not in the ways that some of us would prefer to be different, but we're all different in some way. However, as I continued to stare, and all sorts of things went through my mind, and I said to myself, you know, that's the way God made me. The way I am is the way He made me. And I thank Him for it. Well, not because, you know, I wasn't different because of my receding hairline or my false teeth, or not because I had my tonsils and my adenoids removed when I was a child. I wasn't different because I lost a kidney and had my appendix removed, or the fact that my wife and I had our gallbladders removed on the same day, one right after the other. I know I wasn't different because God had healed me from a deadly skin disease that covered my entire body. Or not because that same God healed me from prostate cancer and skin cancer. No, none of these. It didn't make me different. A lot of people are the same way. Had the same things done. I'm different because I know that if I were to die today, I'd go straight to heaven. And that's a difference I really like. I really like. I've entitled my message today, Mirror, Mirror. Mirror, Mirror. No, not on the wall. In the bathroom. Oh, sure. Well, you know, that there'll be lots of people who will believe in the same Jesus as I do, or who will go into heaven also. I'm not trying to say I'm it by no stretch of the imagination. But when I started thinking, you know, with over 7 billion people on this planet, just how many will actually go to heaven? It chills me to the bone to think of what the Bible says. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done for Christ will last. You know, I feel really blessed. And I'll tell you why. Because I believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God indwelt me and sealed me onto that day of redemption. Which means I can't lose my salvation. No matter how badly I mess up. So, it says so right in the Bible. Sealed onto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. And that's good enough for me. You know, what a wonderful feeling to know I'm saved to the uttermost and on my way to heaven. No matter what befalls me. Can you say the same thing? Oh, I pray you can. I pray you can. I also know that God answers my prayers. Yes, He does. In 1 Peter 3:12, like I said, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. Now, the righteousness mentioned here is not because of anything that I've done or even deserve. Nope. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. And you, and everyone. Isn't that wonderful? My, oh my. You know, the eyes of the Lord are over me because I've been made righteous by the shed blood of His beloved Son. And we must never, never lose sight of that fact. There are no adjectives the Lord God can describe how great He is, or how wonderful are His precepts, even though we say it in our prayers. There's nothing we can do that will ever repay Him for the great salvation we have because of His Son, Jesus Christ, who took our sin, the sin of the whole world, upon Himself. It was Him, Jesus, that paid the price that we could in no way pay. And it was He, the Lord Jesus, who imputed His righteousness to us so that we would one day be with Him in His glorious kingdom. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for a sinner like me. You know, it was a long time ago when I got saved. I was leading a wicked life. And each day I slipped a little closer to the edge of the pit. A hell I didn't even believe in. The fact is that Jesus spoke more about hell than He did about heaven. Did you notice that in the Scriptures? Ever wonder why He would speak more about hell? Because He doesn't want anyone to go there. Can you see the warning? That's why He describes what hell is like, eternal torment, lake of fire. He doesn't want us to go. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for us. But that's where you go if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's where you go. Another fact is that out of them 7 billion plus, them 7 billion plus people living today, most of them are already forming a line. A line you don't want to be in. But there's good news now. If all of them lost souls standing in that line, waiting to board the hellbound express, will repent and turn to Jesus Christ, one and the same, then He will pluck them out of that line that goes straight to hell, and direct their feet to the narrow way that leads to eternal paradise in glory. It's that easy. It's that simple. really. Look, I understand that for some of you, well, it may be a hard decision to make. It was for me in the beginning, too. I mean, when I first heard about the gospel. Well, let me tell you why. Don't turn me off. Hang in there. You want to hear this. You may need to hear this. Please hear me out. That's all I ask. Hear me out. When it comes to giving yourself over to Christ, it can be kind of scary. Now, if you're a lost soul hearing this right now, you probably can recognize that right now. There's somebody preaching to me, you know, and he telling me that I'm going to hell if I don't receive Christ. That's scary. I know it is, because I was there, and I did it. But, you know, it's a lot easier than going to the dentist. And I hate the dentist. Well, I don't hate them personally, but I hate going to a dentist. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful verse of Scripture? I will give you rest. Rest. I remember well the number of times I came oh so close to asking King Jesus to save me. But I could never quite get up the nerve to cross that line. I was enjoying my other lifestyle, as it were. It seemed there was always an excuse, as there is with most of us. There was a girl I wanted to get close to. It was the days of rock and roll back then, hanging out with the guys and causing all kinds of mischief, telling off-color jokes and drinking wine out behind the barn. Just stirring up proper hell. We love stealing apples from old Jowdry's farm. Ever notice that something that's stolen seems to taste a lot better than if you go buy it? Funny. Well, when you're young and foolish, when you're young and foolish like I was, there just doesn't seem any way that you can put a limit on it or a cap on it. And besides, most of us was Catholics. And we believed we was going to heaven anyway, no matter what. That's what the priest told us. As long as you're a Catholic, hey, you're going to heaven. Young and foolish. Young and foolish, that's how it was. Never even heard about salvation. I had a lot of ups and downs back then, and somehow always seemed to get through them. Then, one day, all the lies I'd been living, well, they blew up. They blew up right in my face. Not only was I the world's biggest loser, but I was also knocking at death's door. Following years of wild living, you know, in the army life I was having, drinking and running wild, the only thing left, it seemed, was to simply lie down in a ditch somewhere and wait to die. Death wouldn't come easy. I didn't want to shoot myself or jump off a cliff. Just, you know, peacefully go to sleep. It was a time when I believed in my heart there wasn't a single thing in this world worth living for. No, there wasn't, no. But what I didn't realize was there was something outside of this world worth living for. Yeah? Right there and then, a miracle happened. It did. Now, I'm not talking about bright lights or claps of thunder. I asked God that if He wanted me for anything that would please Him, then He could take me. He could take me. I want to tell you, people, the Father, the God of all the universe, drew me to His Son, and I got saved. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, I got saved. I believed and I got saved. The Holy Spirit moved in and the devil moved out. There was no room for both of them. I got saved. I was a new creature in Christ. I got saved and I never looked back since. Old things quickly passed away, and behold, all things became new. Do you see what I'm getting at, people? Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't be afraid. God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for every sin in your entire life. The sins you committed yesterday, the sins you commit today, and the sins you'll commit tomorrow and thereafter. They're all under the blood once you receive Jesus Christ. And don't anybody tell you different. You see, when you get saved, when you give your life over to Jesus Christ, you don't have to give up a thing. Oh, wait, am I contradicting myself here? You can keep on sinning all you want? No, that's not what I'm talking about. You don't have to give up a thing. You don't. Listen carefully. The indwelling Holy Spirit takes it all away. And in the eyes of God, you become brand new, just as if you never sinned. Wow. Because of what Jesus did in your place, He imputes His righteousness upon you. And in the eyes of the Father, you are as white as snow. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? And then in Isaiah 1, verse 18, the Word of God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God is so good. So good. Don't ever be embarrassed or afraid to come to Christ. He died for you. And me. And all of us. And if you're saved, He lives in you. He lives for you. It's a new life. A new life. A good life. It's an eternal life. On the other hand, there's always another hand, isn't there? When I looked in the mirror that day, I, as I do every day, what I really saw was a child of the devil. You see, contrary to popular belief, we are not all God's children. Although we'd like to think we are. There's a dark side, a dark side. You're on that dark side when you're not in Christ. You see, to truly be a Christian, you must be in Christ. Saying you're a Christian and knowing you're a Christian are not the same. You got that? Saying you're a Christian and knowing you're a Christian are not really the same. You have to know. If you're not a true Christian, the Holy Spirit of God will not indwell you. And without the leading of the Holy Spirit, well, there's no value to your soul. You just meander along day after day in your sinful estate, thinking you're saved, maybe. Of over 7 billion plus who populate this earth, most are without Christ and are on their way to an eternal hell. What a terrible thought. What a horrendous thought. Doesn't that scare you? Oh, maybe you don't believe in hell. Maybe you heard, you know, Robert Schuller and Billy Graham and Pope John Paul all say, well, there's no really no literal eternal hell. It's just a separation from God. What? Don't you believe it? Hell really does exist. Don't die to find out. You know, the day is fast approaching when certain things are going to happen. I'm going to explain them to you here. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, something I believe you have to hear. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. I'll read this to you. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And, I like this, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wowee, so shall we ever be with... This, people, is what's known as the rapture of the church. A lot of people don't believe in that, because rapture's not in the Bible. But what the rapture is all about is in the Bible. Oh, yes. The rapture of the church. The church, of course, being all who are in Christ. We are the church, not the building. You say, I'm going to church today. Well, actually, you are the church. You're just going to assemble together with other believers. That's what the church is. Now, even though, like I said, the word rapture is not in the scriptures, the same word is used frequently as an identifier of a great and glorious event. When the rapture occurs, the Holy Spirit is, get this now, when the rapture occurs, the Holy Spirit is taken out. This third person of the God Trinity is taken out and returns to heaven. Oh, he'll return later, but that's not what we're on today, okay? Now, look in your King James Bible to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me see, okay. Verse 7. Okay, now listen carefully. Listen carefully. 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. That's the Holy Spirit. Until he be taken out of the way. Once the Holy Spirit is removed, taken out of you, taken out of the world, then the world can go into a tremendous state of backsliding and sin, what have you. Now listen carefully. The last phrase of verse 7. Until he, that's he, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, be taken out of the way. Now, as you know, only the truly saved are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We've made that clear. Now here's the part where not many of us pay much attention. Before the rapture can be fully realized, the Holy Spirit, God's restraining force against sin, is removed, taken out of the way. Okay? Now, I can't repeat that enough, because that's just so important, because people get confused. But there's nothing to be confused about. The Holy Spirit is taken out to make way for the coming Antichrist. Okay, now let's look at verse 8. All right? Thessalonians 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And then shall that wicked... Now note, if you have a King James Bible, and I pray you do, note the capital W on wicked. which denotes the Antichrist, that witch, or that wicked, rather, that wicked one, the Antichrist, will be revealed. You got it? All right, let's go on. Now, okay, all you mid-tribbers, you must pay close attention to the sequence of events according to the Scriptures. First, the Holy Spirit is removed. All right? Secondly, that wicked, the Antichrist, will be revealed. Not the other way around. Some believe that the Antichrist will be revealed, and then later on in the tribulation, the Holy Spirit will be removed. That's when the rapture will happen. That's mid-trib rapture. That's not scriptural. Neither is post-trib rapture. Neither one are scriptural. Now, pay close attention. Close attention. This is very important as I read verse 7 and 8. Okay. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The Holy Spirit's gone. The Antichrist is now on the scene, and will rise to instant world power. How he's going to do it? I don't know. Empowered by Satan. Satan, don't forget, has great power, second only to God. Keep it in mind. Planet Earth is Satan's domain, and his powers are second only to God. Keep that in mind, and you won't have a problem understanding it. Now, okay, let's read verse 10. Verse 10 refers to them that perish. Verse 10, to them that perish, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. People, if you're not sure of your salvation, get right with the Lord now. Don't wait another day. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Woo! Oh, man. This verse is constantly overlooked from the pulpit. I don't know about you, but I can't remember the last time I heard a message preached on a strong delusion that God will send. I don't know if it's because there's an uncertainty there, but how can it be? If you're a preacher ordained by God, then and led by the Holy Spirit of God, there should be no uncertainty there. It's very plain. Therefore, many who have rejected Christ will not, now get this, will not have a second chance. Ooh. Okay, I'm going to read verse 11 again. And for this cause, what cause is that? Verse 10. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11. And for this cause, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What lie? The lie of the Antichrist, who will say he is God. There is another sermon on my website that deals exclusively with this strong delusion. I would ask that you look it up and listen to it intently. Completely on the strong delusion. Okay, let's go ahead to verse 12. Verse 12. We put the whole thing in its ugly perspective here. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. If you speak to a concerned parent about this issue of the strong delusion, you're in for a fight. I know, I've tried it. The general consensus is that no matter how many times their wild living kids reject Christ, then the parent believes, or wants to believe, once they see mom and dad are missing, then they will believe in the rapture in place of aliens coming and taking them away and capturing them and all that nonsense. And of course, they can get saved. That's what the parents believed. Once they are guaranteed that this is true. That's like, say, give me my driver's license, and then I'll pay you for it when I see that it's true. This following is really derived from the many not-so-true Christian movies that are out there. I, for one, believe the scriptures are quite clear in reference to the rapture issue and the strong delusion. Latest estimates indicate that some 96% of churchgoers claim to be Christians. 96% of churchgoers who claim to be Christians but are not sure if they're going to heaven. How do you work that out? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. Huh? What'd you say? Would you say that again? Oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven or not. Well, I mean, we can't be sure of that. Get a life, will you? Well then, indications are that this 90%, 96% of churchgoers are not saved. Isn't that incredible? Woo! If you have any doubts whatsoever about your salvation and afterlife destination, the Word of God can help. 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. How do you do that, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, let's go over to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, which says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's a very easy to understand verse. If you're in Christ, the old things are passed away. Old things may include unsaved friends, beer parlors, smoking, cussing and running around. Things that become new are new friends and new desires that please God. And a great desire to lead others to Christ. If these changes and more are not part of your Christian agenda, then chances are you do not belong to Christ. And you should remedy the situation at once. For as I mentioned earlier, tomorrow is promised to no one. Personally, I believe the clincher lies in 2 Corinthians 6:17. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. This is one verse of Scripture that many, even Christians today, don't want to hear. They don't want to have to leave their old lifestyle. They don't want to have to come out from amongst those that are, they think, their friends. It's my honest opinion, if we're not missionaries, then we must strongly adhere to separation. It's not a dirty word, it's a godly word. Nobody likes it, but God commands it. And now we see through a glass darkly, but then, face to face. Will you be at the Bema seat, or will you be at the great white throne judgment? Either way, you will stand face to face, one on one with the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's the Bema seat, you'll be judged not for your sin, but for the rewards you will receive, the crowns you will have to cast at the Savior's feet. If you are not saved and do not belong to the Lord Jesus, you will stand in the great white throne judgment. You will not have a chance to plead your case concerning your sin. That has already been decided with your rejection of Jesus Christ. But you will be there to determine your fate in hell, an eternal hell, as you are convicted, you are tried and convicted, and you have no claim to leniency whatsoever. None. So what's it going to be with you? Are you a Christian? Examine yourself. Be sure. Are old things passed away? Are all things become new? If you're not a Christian and you know it, why not make a decision for Christ today? Believe in Him, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus, in obedience to the Father, went to the cross of Calvary, suffered and died, shed His precious blood as an atonement for your sin, died and was buried, and on the third day rose again. If you believe in that and say, Jesus, I believe, come into my heart, you will be saved to the uttermost. And it can never, never be taken away from you. Mirror, mirror on the wall, when I look at you, when I look at you, I want to see Christ in me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord God, for giving me these words to speak today. Oh Lord, I pray, Lord, of even one lost soul out there, even one who thinks they are a Christian and are not sure, Lord. Here's this message. I pray, Lord, this would be the day of their salvation, that they would quickly give their life to Christ. This world is in such a horrendous state, Lord. We can't be sure about tomorrow, and it may be too late. There's no turning back then. Oh, please, Lord God, please have mercy. Draw them all to Jesus Christ for salvation. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name I pray and ask these mercies. Amen. Amen.